Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. Today, we have the beautiful Liz Arias here with us, and she is going to tell us about her time in multi-level marketing and everything that happened to her and the company she was with. And we're gonna stay here and we're gonna expose some fraudulent lies and hear her story. So without further ado, Liz, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you were in your life when multi-level marketing came knocking.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. That was really nice. God, where was I? It was almost like 12 years ago where I was working at a casino. And I was working part-time and I was, this may or may not be very telling, but I was playing roller derby at the time.
And oh, how badass is that?
I know.
Badass.
Kind of. I did have a bad injury, and you know, I think about things now, even in roller derby as a whole, and how like toxic that was, and how I wish, like, I still skate recreationally now, and I'm learning things that I could have utilized in roller derby.
Right. I cannot skate on four wheels unless they're in a straight line. I can rollerblade all day. I can't roller skate. No, I look like a weirdo, like walking with giant shoes. I'm absolutely the worst roller skater in the entire world.
That's hilarious. So I met this person through that community, and you know, I was wanting to get better because I wasn't a good skater already, and I thought this chick was like super cool, and she skated in another like league, and like it's someone I looked up to, and she had started kind of, you know, doing coaching on the side, and I wanted to get better at skating, and I had gone to a clinic that was hosted, and I had gone up to her like after the whole clinic because she had mentioned something like, oh, if you want to, like, you really have to fuel your body better if you want to get good at this sport, and let me know if you need help. Like, given me, I had bought like the cheapest program that she had to offer, because I, you know, at the time I was working at a casino, I wasn't making a lot of money.
Right. And were you a dealer, or were you just like a cocktail waitress?
I was a cocktail waitress.
Are you in Vegas?
Yeah, with like getting a better nutrition, like meal plan, and I'm like, cool. So I had, you know, approached her at the end of this clinic, and we exchanged information, and she had called me and did like a wellness profile. And
this wellness profile, what does that involve?
It was a bunch of questions on like, have you tried anything to lose weight? What are your current eating habits? What's your starting weight? Do you know how much protein you need to have in a day? And it was questions like that. And
did it seem predatory or shameful, like answering these questions? Or were you like, oh, she's helping me. She's helping me. She needs to know this information.
At the time, no. And so she had... No, I'm in Southern California.
Okay, so
also,
like at a reservation.
Yeah, it was an Indian casino.
Okay. And I live in the middle of three Indian reservations. There's like,
yeah, you have with Pala.
Yeah. So I'm in Southern San Diego. So I'm right next to Viejas, Barona, and Sequan. Right in the middle of all of those.
I was working at one of the ones out here in the Inland Empire.
Okay.
And so I couldn't afford it. And I was like, oh, I know. And it was, this was totally like my idea. I was like, if I sign up for the company, I could get a discount.
Right. That's one of the things. Like, you don't have to sell it. You can just join for the discount. You could be a kidnapper. You don't have to sell it. You just
a kidnapper.
Yeah. Like that's what people call it now.
Funny.
Yeah. You're just coming in and you're just napping the kit. You're just taking that kit for that really good discount. Yeah. And then, So that, okay. So you decided, I can get the discount.
Kidnapper.
Yes.
I've been a total kidnapper like, several times, even after, even after Herbalife, I was like,
look at like that makeup for a discount.
Yeah. Lip scents. Hell yeah.
Like, right. Okay. So you join to get the discount. You didn't have any intention of selling it at this point. You just wanted the discount because you couldn't afford the full price.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. And she was like, well, you could do the business. You'd be great. And this, that, and the third. And I was like, really? I was like, I guess I'll do it. But I still want the discount. And so, she was like, she signed me up and hey, come to this thing next week. We can hang out and we can go to this thing. And I was like, cool. I get to hang out. And go to this thing.
Right. And that also makes you feel special because you're like, she's inviting me to this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this thing was like a success. Like it was a seminar.
Like a big recruiting meeting.
Oh, my God. Right. Yeah. And it was like a lot of them. It was a lot of them. And when I tell you how overwhelming these fucking things are, like, I'm not like, I know I'm an extroverted person, but if I'm around people I don't know, I'm just not comfortable.
Right.
And
yeah, and I mean, they prey upon that too, right? Like, we'll teach you how to not have social anxiety. We'll teach you how to talk to strangers.
Yeah. Well,
we'll teach you all that stuff.
She was like already up here, like, you know, in level. So she had sit like way in the front already, and I'm like, oh, here I am by myself next to people I don't really know. Like, eventually they there was more people in the roller derby community that did join, and so I saw some familiar faces, and like, that was cool. And so I, you know, I made friends, and I actually was, you know, I had recruited another friend of mine two friends of mine, but one of them, like, I still talk to both of them a lot. One of them lives out of state and another one lives like near the beach cities. And so we're still in contact, and she had a really hard time too. And even after I'd left, because they lived pretty locally to each other, so she stayed in the business for a while. I feel like after, you know, this whole year that 2020 was, it gave me a lot of time to think and reflect on a lot of stuff.
I spent the year doing that too.
Definitely, this was definitely one of them. And you know, I had called her and I was like, hey, like, I'm really sorry, like, I'm really sorry that I even got you involved, because she was a single mom and like going through a really bad divorce and
vulnerable as well.
You know, yeah.
And this is something that they teach you though, you know, like in multi-level marketing, they teach you like, you're not being predatory. You're serving someone, you're helping someone. You see someone who's down on their luck and your business can help them. And so you need to reach out and say, oh, you're a single mom who's going through a divorce. Like, my business can help you. And it's not like you're not taught that that's predatory. You really honestly believe that you're extending a business opportunity and you're helping someone, because that's how I took it too. That's how I've always been approached by people. I've never really been approached predatorily. It's always been through friends or things like that. And that's part of it. It's part of it. It's teaching people how to recruit someone in a natural way that doesn't seem predatory to you at all. So you continue to do it because you think you're helping by mentioning these opportunities.
Yeah. So I was not in a good relationship myself. And I was with someone, you know, working in a casino. The person that I was with was a really bad gambler. My friend's ex-husband was also a really bad gambler and an alcoholic. And like, my work life wasn't good. And so she was, you know, motivating me to do the business. And I was starting to do well. I was starting to sell a lot of product. I was making money. But I think for me, like when I had an injury, I broke my leg skating, and eventually I lost my job. And that's all I had was Herbalife business.
Right. So there you go. So you have something happened to you that you didn't expect. And because of that, you know, you can't do what you've been doing. So you've got this little side hustle that you're sort of just working for the discount. And it now becomes the answer to all of your problems, right? Like if I can just work this business, now that I have the free time to do it, I can put in more time and energy and more money and build my business and really work on this business.
Right. And so there's like different, like, of course there's levels to low, but like different discount levels. So starting off, it was like,
oh, 25%. I didn't even know that. Like the higher you get up, the bigger of a discount you get. Yeah. I had no idea.
See,
wow. Like, so there's even a second incentive to get up higher is to get your products at an even, so it increases your profitability and your commission.
25. Yeah. It goes from 25% to 35%, and then 40%, and then 50%. I think.
Wow. I mean, that also, that in illegitimate business, the higher you get up, the better, you know, that's kind of normal. The more commission you would get, they're treating it as a discount, but at the same time, it is the commission because you're making money off of it. So the less amount you pay for it, the more you profit on the other side. So that is a legitimate business thing. The higher you get up in your companies, oftentimes the more commission you will make. And that's another example of how multi-level marketing tries to appear legitimate to people that just don't know that that's not how it is.
Yeah. So like, even by the time I was injured, I had already like made that 50%. I was already at that level.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And
so it just seemed like natural, like, well, maybe this is a sign. Maybe this happened for a reason. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Thank goodness for Herbalife. Thank goodness they were there for me. I'm so grateful to them.
Yeah. But really, I just fucked my whole shit up.
You're like, but really, it was a cult the whole time.
Really, I just broke my leg and that was that. And what else? There's so much just
right
out of
so
my brain
so
now.
you hit a rank in Herbalife.
Yeah, it's called supervisor.
And is that, you said it was like world team. So I have the Herbalife income disclosure statement. I pop that up because I like to look at this stuff. And this is from 2011. It's very hard to find information that comes from the company. So the one that I could find that looked the most legitimate was from 2011. And supervisor is 33.1% of the company. Also, this is just a leadership compensation income earning. And at the bottom, it says the amounts above do not include the income distributors who can earn from their retail or wholesale income. So this is just like recruitment numbers. So 33.1% of the total leaders in the company are supervisors. And their average compensation is $901. Like, I think that's a year. I think that's for the whole year. That's not per month. That's the average.
No. Oh, maybe. Like, I've made that in a month from the company.
But this here is the average. This is the gross annual compensation average. So there's a lot of people in there, because if you're making more than that, then there's definitely clearly a lot of people that are making much, 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 much less to have only $900 a year be the average at that level. That's really eye-opening, because at the president's team for the year is $514,000 for the year. Mm-hmm. So this has to be yearly figures, because there's no way they're making a quarter or half a million a month. So that's really crazy. You also mentioned World Team. And at World Team, the average is $6,224,000 or $6,224 a year average. Again, if you're making more than that, then there's definitely a lot less people underneath you that are not, that are at the levels that are not making that much. So, wow. So you were somewhere in between the 900 and the 6,000.
not close to the 6,000. That's the damn sure.
Probably not close to the 6,000. So wow. Wow. For the whole year. And you're with Herbalife for how many years?
When did I, let's see, it was like 2009.
Wow.
And they had changed the marketing plan.
Right. Yeah. That always happens. They change the plans every time someone catches them breaking the law.
Shoes. Well, I don't know when it was, but, and I think it was like, had it was the, that documentary, it was.
So were you in Herbalife when that was happening? When Bill Ackman was hedging against Herbalife?
I was starting to leave.
Okay.
That's when I was, because.
And you are here in Southern California. You're in Los Angeles County. Okay. Mm-hmm. So. That at the time, Antonio Villaraigosa was the mayor of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
During all of this, he actually, prepare to have your mind blown. He was in on it. Yeah. So yeah. Herbalife was paying him to promote Herbalife within the Latino communities of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You told me that you're Salvadorian. You fit right in there. You're a Latina in Los Angeles under the guise of Antonio Villaraigosa as the mayor, who's promoting Herbalife at the time. So you were preyed upon at that exact moment. Were you ever encouraged to open up a nutrition shop?
So myself, no. And I would never, even back then, that was a hard no. Like I couldn't afford that overhead. My like sponsor, she had opened one right off the PCH even. And that came and went pretty quick, I think.
Well, that's such an odd business to be right there on PCH.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like so many people in Los Angeles are just a little more woke to that sort of stuff, that I would think that an Herbalife shake shop on PCH would not do very well.
Well, it was weird. And I don't know if it's all the nutrition clubs, the way they're run, but if you were in the business you had, and if you were like recruiting and doing business out of it, you had to chip in for the rent, like at a certain, you had to pay a certain percentage.
So like so is it more than one person that usually works in these shops, or is it like a team leader that owns the shop and then their downline like volunteers there?
Yeah.
And if they volunteer there, because they're obviously recruiting while they're there, they then chip in on the monthly rent to the team leader in these shops.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's something I didn't know. I just learned that.
And at the time, well, I don't know if it varies. I don't know,
I'm sure there are no actual real rules.
I was like, I couldn't afford that. I couldn't afford to commute at the time, living in the Inland Empire, all the way to the damn beach.
What was your, do you remember what your monthly or your rent contribution would have been had you decided to volunteer in the shop to recruit?
I have no idea, but.
But enough that you were like, that's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, I can't afford that. That's.
That and it, well, you just need to move out here. Like, girl, no, I don't.
Right. You just need to move to this more expensive part of town that you can't afford without Herbalife, so that you're even more indebted, because you're stuck. You're so stuck. You're so indebted to this company because of everything. Right. You're like, I really want to live there,
I don't know if I moved to the beach on that bullshit, I would have been living
in a van down by the
on
river.
The yeah
in I the, would have been down, living on the jetty beach. In a tent. I would have
been,
like, yeah,
been living on the beach in Venice with all the people that live on the beach in Venice,
right? Like, right. And I mean, an Herbalife shop does make sense, like in Venice Beach. Like, Venice Beach is synonymous with Muscle Beach, which is right there, where, like,
yeah,
you have all those guys that are just oiled up and greasy working out. I mean, they have like workout equipment on the beach that you can use, like public workout equipment that you can use right on the beach in front of all the people that are roller skating by, and all the shops and all the souvenir shops where you can buy I Love LA t-shirts. It's literally right there. So it is such a culture in Venice to be like, look at me with my big muscles. So an Herbalife shop kind of would, in terms of people in Herbalife, it would make sense to put something near there to prey upon those people.
Dude. And when it was all being like, when it was, they were setting it up and like, best believe I was there painting walls and shit. And I, you know, and, oh, if you're not going to do any business here, you can't come and pay rent. And I'm like,
right. Like, if you're not willing to put in any work, like, don't even show your face at all.
That's kind of what it felt like. And I was like, damn, all right, cool. Let me paint this wall for you though.
Yeah, let me help you, even though you're not going to let me, even though this is not enough. Me doing this favor for you is not enough. I have to actually give you money for you to think that my time and my energy is valuable to you. I have to present money as well, which to me, money is a renewable commodity. Giving me money is nothing. Give me your time. Give me your energy. You're not going to get that time and energy back. You only have so much of it. So to me, paying in a renewable commodity is so much easier. Like, I would really rather prefer somebody helped me do something with their man hours than just give me money to do it, you know? So that's kind of silly and sort of manipulative as well. Like, your time isn't good enough. I'd really prefer just your money. If you could just give me some of that rent money, that'd be fine.
I just feel like wanting to hang out with her, wanting to skate with her, wanting to, you know, like level up with her and all of that, because I thought she is this just badass amazing person. But you know, when I lost my job at the casino because of my injury, they couldn't, like, the casino couldn't afford to give me FMLA past like the 90 days. They could afford it, but whatever. They let me go, and I did get, you know, for them booting me the way they did, I did get a lot of unemployment extension. Right. Like, and I was,
and that's
like,
another issue. Like, if actual legitimate companies were better to their employees, then their employees wouldn't feel the need to have to get side hustles and spend a bunch of money and go bankrupt trying to chase after this American dream. If just companies just actually took care of their employees to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a whole nother thing that is like an after effect of and a cause and effect of MLM that we don't even talk about at all. It's the fact that a livable wage isn't even a thing in this country, unfortunately. And so you have to have multiple streams of income, and MLM is so enticing with their lies and their sisterhood. Like you're talking about, like, you wanted a friend, you just wanted to hang out with her. You connected with her on, you know, on the roller derby rink
circuit. Yeah.
And so, you know, why wouldn't you continue that friendship? But the second you signed that contract, you stopped being a friend and you became like an employee, a dollar sign, a walking dollar sign.
I was a fucking dollar sign.
Yeah.
For her.
The second you signed that contract, you became a dollar sign with eyelashes. And she's like, hi, you now pay my bills. So why aren't you buying more protein powder?
Yeah, I was still working, and, you know, cause I lost a lot of weight on it too. I lost like,
that's another thing,
pounds.
Like,
I was skating.
The diet culture of Herbalife as well.
Yeah,
you know, like, you need to be skinny, you need to lose those 5 pounds, you could look better. Like, what's wrong with the way I look now? Why do I need to lose 5 more pounds? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to be anything other than like, why am I not good enough the way that I am? And that's another thing that they prey upon. Don't you want to be better than you are, skinnier than you are, healthier than you are?
Well, yeah. And I feel like, cause she did have problems with eating disorders in her past. She talked about it a lot.
Rampant through these companies. Oh, you're saying, so she even used it probably as a recruitment tactic. I used to have an eating disorder.
I know how it is. Not so much a recruitment tactic, but I know that she would imply that she did have like, cause she used to be like a plus size model. And then now like, and she went from that to like, she did like, what's the, not bodybuilding, figure model. Like, she went from figure like modeling that.
I have
like,
a couple friends that did, do that.
Yeah, she did that for a little bit. Wow, and okay. Like, she looked fucking
how long
awesome.
At this point when you joined her team, how long had she been in her Herbalife? If she was up as high as she was, she'd been in for a decent amount of time.
Yeah, probably a couple years more than I was.
Okay.
I have no idea now.
And
I
mean, had you,
she's been in it more than a decade for sure.
She's still in it.
I don't know.
Right. You don't keep up. So you don't know. I mean, it was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. I had to stop talking to her. Like she like eventually, like, I know it's petty, but eventually she unfollowed me from Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very common. Very common. And excommunication is incredibly common when you leave.
But she did keep me on her Facebook friends list. And I noticed that some months ago, she had tagged me in a photo, like it was my results. And like, I was 26 at the time. How
she tagged you in like 15-year-old result photos?
Yeah.
And she hadn't talked to you since all of this. And she just tagged you in it.
She had like, we had talked a couple times and I'll tap into that soon.
That's but, weird.
Like she, you know, you unfollow me from Instagram, keep me on Facebook. Don't talk to me there. Don't talk to me at all. But I get tagged in a 10-year-old picture for...
Like, she could sell it to other people.
Is that even her property? I don't know if that's even her property.
Probably not, but they don't care.
And it's like, you know, whatever. Anyone that's smart enough can click on that tag, look at my profile and see that I got fat. Whatever.
Like, yeah, but here's the other thing. You're not fat. You're gorgeous.
That was 10. You know what?
Here's the other thing, though. When you tag someone on Facebook, it then shows everybody that's friends with that person that post. So like her just tagging you was a way for her to legitimize Herbalife to your friends. Like, look at this person, you know,
a lot of my friends like wow reacted on Facebook and it's like, hold your horses, guys. That was a long fucking time ago. I was in my 20s, body compositions change. I'm 36 now. Obviously I don't look like that anymore and whatever. I'm still banging, but fucking whatever.
You are gorgeous. She is gorgeous, by the way. Gorgeous. And I love that lip color on you. No one can see it, but it's beautiful. Like brick red. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you're curly blonde. Oh my God. You're just gorgeous.
She's the old ass picture of me. I'm like, what? Like, if you're such a bad motherfucker in this business, where are the new pictures? Where are the new pictures?
Right. Right. Like, why using old stuff that happened so long ago? Don't you have any new results to show?
And also, why aren't you talking to me and still using my pictures? Why are you not talking to me anymore and you're trying to monetize an old picture? And so I had a remover from my Facebook finally. Cause I like that kind of made me mad that, and like how she was just, if toxic positivity was a person, you would get this woman.
Oh yeah. No, toxic positivity is a person. They sit at the top of every single pyramid. Every single one
but
of them.
But that's the thing. She's not even like in the long time that like she's been in this business, she's still on the same like level. She's not moved up. I know people that
she's never passed like
her.
President's Council or Rainbow Unicorn or
she
whatever. She's the same one.
She hasn't even gotten to that president team, whatever. As far as I know, there's people that have started after her that had just that are they're in presidents, they're in millionaires team, they're in all kinds of like higher levels than her, and she hasn't moved up. So when she wants to sit there on her high horse and tell people about leveling up, like, bitch, you right. level up.
Right.
You level
because
up.
It's not about level? That. It really is just about bringing more people. And she can't level up until she gets more people. And she has to not only get more people, but she has to keep them there and get them to get more people. And another thing, like we talk about a lot in here and Herbalife, I think they probably do it too, teaching, just don't you know five people? Just get five people and teach them how to get five people. Don't you know five people? Right. So, but
I know
but
like
mathematically,
people and
but mathematically, mathematically, if you were to do that perfectly and have five people, get five people, get five people, and you run out of people after 13 levels in the world, like there's not enough humans on earth to go past level 13 of exponential five, teaching five, teaching five, teaching five, you run out of people. So that is just, it's not even sustainable what they teach you. It's just not, it's just physically not sustainable. And nobody ever questions that. They just go, oh, okay. Yeah, I know five people, but nobody goes, wait, but won't we eventually run out of people?
Yeah.
Constantly have to replace. So if she's getting five people a year and losing five people a year, she'll never grow.
You
know,
I was replaced.
Of course.
She replaced me even, she called me friend, but she replaced me. Mm-hmm. If I were her friend, we'd still be talking whether or not I was in the business, like the way I still talk to my friend
right.
who is not in the business. And we talked before we were in it, and we still talk now mm-hmm. that we're, you know, yeah. now that this is an aftermath.
Right. Well, I mean, these are cults,
that's
right?
A friend.
So anybody inside the cult is loyal to the cult and not the friend. And MLMs put the MLM above all else, above familial relationships, above significant others relationships, above your free time, above your other jobs, above anything. You're loyal to the company first.
Oh, for sure. Because I've heard, and after I had left, my friend would tell me all kinds of stuff that she, like, she was in a relationship with someone from the business that she recruited, and once this person couldn't pull their weight and they were living together, they U-hauled it pretty fucking quick, and once they were living together and once this girl couldn't make whatever monthly
deuce.
cuts, it was like, okay, I don't have time for this relationship anymore.
So because the business aspect of the relationship wasn't panning out, the romantic aspect of the relationship couldn't pan out either.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I felt so awful because I was like, no way. She ain't like that, really. And, you know, I wasn't coming around to see it, but I was like, no fucking way she did that.
I've definitely heard of that.
People
breaking up
with
people because of it.
I was friends with, you know, both of them on social media. And I noticed that the now ex-girlfriend had made a Facebook post about being friend zone. And I was like, no shit. No way. And and then I later found out that because this ex of hers was under her in the plant, like her downline. Because she wasn't making like the monthly minimum or cuts or whatever. This girl was ordering her product that she had to sell under the X's so that the X could make points and she could make points too. And she, oh, I'll just pay for this product under your account and I'll move my product. Who the fuck?
Oh,
you
want to sit there
and talk about integrity?
Oh, wow.
I hope I can cuss on this, but I'm just getting mad.
Oh, you totally can. At all of the episodes that people drop all that stuff, I just there's a little option when I upload clean or explicit. So I just do it the explicit. So people know and they're like, oh, there's cussing in this one. I'll wear headphones.
Yeah.
You're not the first, I promise. Wow. Wow. Placing orders underneath someone else to boost your own bonus check.
And theirs.
Wow. Because
technically on paper, it was that person putting in an order.
Right.
And then, but since it trickled up to her, it was her points too.
Right. No, I've heard about that stuff happening in other companies.
So she got a check on top of that.
Not surprised Herbalife's doing that. Not surprised. So you know that giant building off the 405 that has the big Herbalife building in LA?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's off the 405. Yeah. Kind of over there. Yeah. There's a big Herbalife building.
LA Live. Mm-hmm.
So their physical headquarters are in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I've been
to that. But their legal headquarters are in the Cayman Islands. And the Cayman Islands, people listening are probably like, what? The Cayman Islands are a tax haven. So I Googled this before we started talking. I literally wrote Cayman Islands income tax because I knew, and I just wanted to get specific because I'm long-winded. And I was like, if I explain this paragraph, it'll take me 15 minutes. So I'm just going to read the paragraph. I literally Googled it. It's the first thing that came up when I typed in Cayman Islands income tax. It's from Investopedia, which is, I guess, a tax and income tax place or website. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to trust them. And it says, why are the Cayman Islands considered a tax haven? Now, so this is why Herbalife has chosen to make their legal headquarters in the Cayman Islands. In addition to having no corporate tax, the Cayman Islands impose no direct taxes whatsoever, and they have no income tax, no property tax, no capital gains tax, no payroll tax, and no withholding tax.
Oh my God. That's wild.
We'll pause for the laughing because probably there's people going, I'm sorry. What? Yeah. So, and that's like totally legal. Like it's totally legal and protected by the government. And that's like, the government's like, yeah, that's totally fine. Don't even worry about it. I thought that was a really interesting little tidbit that I found in my quick research about Herbalife.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah. So like around the time that you were in Herbalife, we did mention it briefly and it is a fantastic documentary that happens to be anti-MLM accidentally. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's more about the hedge fund manager, Bill Ackman's fight with Herbalife, trying to hedge Herbalife stock so that he could make millions and millions of dollars. And essentially what he did was this whole thing that's happened recently with Reddit and GameStop. It's the exact same thing, except Bill Ackman was, Herbalife was GameStop and the hedge fund managers is Bill Ackman. And then Reddit was basically like Herbalife in this moment. So Bill Ackman was like, this is a scam. I can prove it's a scam. I have financial documents that prove it's a scam. I have business documents that prove it's a scam. I can prove this is a scam. But he didn't realize it was connected to the US government and that there's so much collusion and governmental fix. He had no idea that. He didn't know that. He didn't do enough research to come to that conclusion. He just was like, I can hedge this. I can make so much money. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy the stock. You know, I'm going to hedge that money, buy the stock and sell it. And then it's going to drive the price down. And then I'm going to buy it low and sell it low and make a ton of money. However, it's very complicated, but essentially that's what he was going to do. Well, what happened was Herbalife caught wind of what was going on And Herbalife said, oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. You're basically going after big tobacco and nobody is going to take us down. So Herbalife put a ton of money, and all these other members of the DSA, which is the Direct Sellers Association, which is the governmental lobby that protects multi-level marketing and keeps it legal. They all thought, you know what, we're going to put so much money. And they drove the stock of Herbalife up so high that Bill Ackman basically just had to quit. He basically just had to say, I quit. And I think he is the biggest loser in multi-level marketing. He lost millions. I'm trying to find the figure right here in this book. And of course I can't find it.
He lost
so much money because Herbalife.
The court case over the two friends. There was like two friends and somebody took it to the Supreme Court.
Yes. Okay. So then what happened because of Herbalife and Bill Ackman's battle, what happened as a result of that was the government got wind of this fraud, and the FTC cannot bring across criminal charges. So the FTC really can't do anything in terms of these big, crazy things like this. It was not the FTC. It was a financial, it was a fraud case. So I believe it was the IRS or something like that. I'd have to look it up again. But it was a different government agency that was like, wait a second, this is fraud. And so the court case was brought up on charges of fraud in terms of money issues. It wasn't even that they were a scam and that they were bankrupting people and that tons of people were losing money. It was because of Wall Street. Wall Street is the reason that Herbalife went to court. And it says right here, it says the FTC's investigate, this is Robert Fitzpatrick's book, Ponzionomics. I talk about it all the time. It's amazing. It says the FTC's investigation of Herbalife, which occurred under the Obama administration, was the most important development in historic opportunity at the FTC since 1979. However, it was prompted not by Obama policy or regulatory vigilance, or even by consumer complaints or class action lawsuits. Short sellers on Wall Street were the reason that attention was brought to this case because of the hedge fund manager. So Wall Street was the reason, not all of the illegal activity. It was the money side, which you see happen a lot in these cases is when you see court cases go up to the big guys, usually it's not because it's a pyramid scheme. It's because there's some sort of fraud. Some sort of fraud. And even when cases do go to become pyramid schemes, Amway and Herbalife sort of let that happen as a way to be like, see, they are pyramid schemes. We're not. They were prosecuted and shut down. We weren't. You see, the government is prosecuting pyramid schemes because they were. So they 100% are like, you can just be the one that we're just going to let go to the wolves to keep us safe. So they even do that in a pyramid schemey kind of way of letting the little guys take the fall to prove, quote unquote, that we're not pyramid schemes because we would have also been shut down. Isn't that insane?
They haven't been caught yet.
Right. It says the investigation against Herbalife happened only 2 years after an intense public pressure and media attention that was caused by the $1 billion short position taken by Herbalife stock value by the hedge fund Pershing Square Capital Management that was led by Bill Ackman, which is what Betting on Zero is about. So if anybody wants more information on this whole thing, Betting on Zero is a great documentary about Bill Ackman hedging Herbalife and sort of the aftermath of the Latino community in Los Angeles because of Antonio Villaraigosa, and also, unfortunately, because of the then Attorney General, who is now our Vice President, Kamala Harris. She ignored the case because her husband, his last name is Emhoff. I don't remember what his first name is, but her husband is a lawyer for the firm that protects Herbalife. So had she sued Herbalife as the state of California, as the Attorney General, she would have been fighting against her husband. And so it was basically ignored. It's unfortunate. You know, there's a lot of government collusion and government fixing in multi-level marketing. And multi-level marketing is a huge American institution of power, just like big tobacco, just like big pharma, just like the military industrial complex, just like Hollywood, the Hollywood elites. You know, people are like, the Hollywood elites. And I'm like, no one's talking about Big Pyramid. And Big Pyramid is this like secret institution of power that nobody talks about. Except you know for me.
You know what I feel it is with a lot of, you know, especially with MLM, like I see a huge like correlation with people that are involved in an MLM that believe in conspiracy theories QAnon and all of that. Yeah. And so those are the same ones that are talking about Hollywood elites. The Hollywood elites are bad.
Right.
They're eating it's, children.
And
they're
it's
eating
really
babies.
Ironic,
and so
right?
Maybe that's why there's no discussion on MLMs. And yeah. Like,
that is actually something really interesting. I would really, I'm going to have a friend of mine on who's a counselor, and we're going to talk about the psychological aspect of mental health. But I would love to talk about the psychological aspect of like conspiracy theories and these strange beliefs and these that really correlate a lot of times with multi-level marketing.
I noticed a lot of people
very strange
got involved
the weird
with,
freakonomic commonality. It's very strange.
A lot of people that got involved, like especially with the pandemic, it's like, oh, buy these vitamins for your immune system.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy
there was
this
a lot.
Juice for your immune buy
there was a lot of scammy COVID
gonna,
stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people took advantage.
So
a lot of people
awful.
Joined multi-level marketing this year or last year because of the pandemic and because of the panic that it caused and because of the you were closed. I have an option for you. My business is great. I'm deemed essential.
Oh, God.
Blah, blah, blah,
you,
blah, blah.
Like
you know,
the
people
Monet
were so predatory.
Because well, I do hair.
So do I. You're a hairstylist
like,
too?
Yeah.
Yes. I used to work in Santa Monica a long time ago, but now I'm back
That's
in San
cool.
Diego. Yeah. How fun. Cool. No wonder you have adorable hair. You're a hairstylist. Yeah. I've been a cosmetologist for 20 years and Monet is the bane of my existence. Have you had Monet girls come into your salon?
No, I've had the occasional... oh, I want a haircut. And then I have my own shampoo. And I'm like, okay, I'll use
Shampoo. Unless it's a medicated, like a tea gel or like a prescriptive shampoo, don't bring in your own shampoo.
I'm
unless
so
you have some
petty.
Crazy
oh,
sensitivity.
Cool.
Don't bring in your
I'm
own
so
shampoo.
Petty. I'm so petty because I'm like, okay, fine, I'll use your shampoo and I'll like dump a big wad of it in my hand. And I'm like, oh, sweet, it's so foamy. And then half the bottle's gone.
Yeah, I have a couple girls that use it and they know how I feel. And I'm very compassionate and educational and I'm not a shamer. So I have told them, please don't bring it. I'm not gonna use it on you. Using what I have on my back bar is not gonna affect anything for one shampoo in your whatever you think is happening. Your hair is dead, it doesn't need to detox. That's why it doesn't hurt when we cut it off, because it's literally dead keratin protein, which is what rhino horns and fingernails are made out of. So that is the bane of my existence.
From a friend.
That one.
I had bought some from a friend because she had the account and she like grew her hair out. She's curly like I am too.
And you tried it.
I tried it.
What'd you think? As a professional, what'd you think?
It was okay.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I was like, so I got little packets. My friend was selling it and was when I was in. And so when I was in MLM, so she sent me packets. I had clean hair and you know how hair works. So I had probably washed my hair 2 days before I had tried it. And I was like, might as well. I had to wash my hair 4 times to get any suds. And I thought that's not good. And I never used it again. I said, why am I washing my hair 4 times to get any surfactant like movement in here at all? Any bubbles.
Stuff.
It felt my hair. Oh,
I'm surprised that both my friend and I did not go bald.
There's a lot of people reporting
that they're getting hair thinning and
sores
hair loss
and thinning, breakage.
And she eventually stopped using it too. but it's like, it's not worth it. Like 80 something bucks wholesale.
You know what? Like, honestly, crazy. When I used
my
it,
wholesale is better. Like this, when I this used is nothing it, that Surface doesn't like, right. doesn't do.
Surface is a great brand.
Surface is awesome. And
we use Verb on our back bar because it's very like so eat, like it's just so cost effective when you're literally washing it down the drain. You're literally watching it down the drain. Verb is a great affordable. I think the everything in Verb retails for like 16, which is fantastic. Like it's really good, like mid grade. You don't need to spend $100 on shampoo and conditioner. It's ridiculous. I remember using it and going, their packaging, their anti-aging, their color, everything reminded me of Alterna. Everything.
Oh yeah.
I was like,
or,
anti-aging.
Or even caviar.
Yeah, the caviar from Alterna. That's literally, it reminded me of their caviar line.
Yeah, that is okay. Yeah.
It reminded me of their caviar line, but like a knockoff of it.
Yeah.
Because I used to do education for Alterna. So I was like, this, like every buzzword that this girl was giving me, it's organic and this and that, and it's anti-aging. And I was like, this sounds like Alterna. Alterna is quote unquote pricey, but it's still cheaper than Monet. Like it's still cheaper than Monet.
Yeah. Monet, even if you are a kidnapper, that shit's fucking expensive.
It's so expensive. And the other thing that I've noticed is I don't, my colors don't process this the same. Like there's
because
a lot
of the
warmth.
Waxy buildup.
There's a lot of warmth behind where I'm having to add a lot more corrective tones into my toners to even pull a normal blonde color. Where like I use Redken like toner. So it'd be like I could do like a GB with like a little bit of an NB and it'd be perfect. But now I'm like having to tweak it and add like chrome and like pearl and these P's and these T's and these B's to get those oranges and yellows, and they're underlying, and it's the same lightener, the same developer, the same bond restructure that I use, the same everything for the same amount of time, and it's not lifting the same. I'm having to leave it on 10, 15, 20 minutes longer. My girl was like, it's a lot itchier than normal. And I was like, well, that's not on me.
That's your Monet. Yeah.
And so, and then even I did highlights on someone and there's weird polka dots in the foils when I opened it. Like I had, you know, like when you get bleach in your color and it makes those little purple dots, it looked like that. Yeah. And I was like, what are these weird polka dots in the hair? So I don't know. I provide that, the service that, they talk about in the Victims of Hair Transformation Detox Facebook group, which is the Malibu Crystal Gel plus the Olaplex standalone.
Yeah, you have to clarify then.
So it's like a 2-hour treatment. I did it on this girl. It was a 2-hour treatment. And yeah, you do the crystal gel under the dryer and then you do the undo goo with the crystal gel. And then you do the standalone one and the standalone two and the three and the conditioning. It's about a 2-hour service. I mean, she was under the dryer like 30 minutes at each process to get this to lift it out. And her felt
so
hair
that
felt
Monet
amazing.
Is costing them, that Monet is costing them even more money.
Yes. Yeah, so now it's costing them more money because it's a 2-hour service and it's not a color where I can slap it on and you sit for 45 minutes. Like you're under the dryer for 10 minutes and you're under the dryer for 15. Like there's, I can really do nothing but like check Facebook in between.
Yeah.
So it's a 2-hour service and at $60 an hour average, that's a $120 service. Yep. And so what I will offer on top of it is like a free cleanup of a haircut. Like it's included, you know, and the style is included. So you're getting a little something other than this, but I feel horrible charging $120 to get this out of people's hair. But
yeah, but they don't feel horrible buying it.
I know my worth and that's what I'm worth.
Yeah.
No. And that's what my time is worth in the salon. It just is, you know, I'm in my 40s now and I've done this for 20 years and I'm like, this is what I'm worth. I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm worth this now. I'm worth $1 an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know, you know, people use it. I'm glad you never joined as a hairstylist. And it's actually really interesting. I had no idea you were a hairstylist. I love that. I have so many hairstylist friends that are like, girl, can we talk about Monet? I'm like, yes, yes, we can.
Yeah.
So back to Herbalife, what was the breaking point where you were like, fuck this, I'm done?
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.